listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life weekly service. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Glad to be here. We have a special guest tonight. Looking forward to it.
Yes, Dr. Norman Wilson is with us tonight. He'll be talking on the seven attributes of selfhood. So we'll bring him on here in just a few minutes. We'd like to welcome those who are joining us live, as well as those who are listening to the archive of this program. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, healing, hypnosis, paranormal-related areas, and Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. Before we get into our topic, I'd like to do the abbreviated principles of belief. There are nine principles of belief of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. The first one, and these are abbreviated, the first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Number eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for more information on these nine principles of belief, as well as membership, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now, tonight's program, we're going to be first listening to Dr. Norman Wilson on his topic, and then after that we're going to do our mindful expansion segment where we will explore different thoughts from our inner oracle card deck, self-discovery cards, and even those listening can request a card to be pulled for them if you're in the chat room. Obviously live listeners can do that, but we'll get to that after Dr. Wilson does his presentation. This next disclaimer is not directed at anyone in particular. It's just a standard. While we are always interested in new and different perspectives, the views of our guest speakers do not necessarily represent the views of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Now, Dr. Norman Wilson has been on the program a number of times, and he joined us when we were doing the video broadcast, too. He's a bit of a mesmerizing speaker, if you ask me. Easy to listen to. And I'll just read his short bio. Dr. Norman Wilson has a doctorate in the humanities and holds a position of professor emeritus at Polk State College in Winter Haven, Florida. And by the way, he also just recently graduated from IMHS, Metaphysics Institute, with his PhD in metaphysical ministry. He is the author of a dozen books and over 300 articles published on the Internet, ranging from Buddhism to education to shamanism. Dr. Wilson is a certified Reiki master and a member of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. His website is shamanicmysteries.com. He is speaking to us tonight via Skype from his home in Washington State. And the topic for tonight's presentation is the seven attributes of selfhood. Dr. Wilson, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kelly and Dr. Hunter. It's very nice to be back again. I appreciate that opportunity. And Michael, thank you also for keeping me on tack. Also, welcome to those who are listening and to those who are in the chat room. You and I come into this world as a self. And over time, we experience significant developments in what constitutes our selfhood. Leaving behind the myriad of discussions on the ego, the superego, and the id, there still remains, I think, a body of information worthy of your consideration as well as my own. And that is the attributes of selfhood. Well, what do we mean by an attribute? Very simply, it's an identifier. It's a characteristic that distinguishes. What then are the characteristics or the identifiers of selfhood? From my point of view, there are seven. And people may disagree with this, and that's okay. The first attribute of selfhood is mindfulness. Mindfulness involves being aware of existence, not just your own. This is different from the Buddhist tradition and the contemplative psychotherapy training that is generally viewed as seated meditation. Being mindful of all existence means respecting that existence, paying homage to the rights of all living things, to look at all existence as an act of creative beauty, hold a reverence for all that is in order to nourish yourself. It is more than do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a total awareness of your own existence as well as that of all other extent, individuals, and things that exist. That's pretty powerful, to be totally aware. The second attribute is delightism. Now, as I use the word delightism here, I am not referring to Tantra delightism, which is an erotic-focused philosophy. Once a state of mindfulness of all existence is achieved, begin to examine its created beauty. Delight will come to you. This is a bit tricky here because it involves so much more than the pleasure principle. A genuine appreciation for that which exists from the micro to the macrocosmic realities of all that there is essential. It's the Maslow aha experience of self-actualization. It's Eureka, the Satori of joy. Accept each blade of grass as a thing of beauty. Each existence as a unique work of art. Get involved in that uniqueness and you will find delight in that existence. And maybe, just maybe, you will experience a sense of that which is divine in you. The fundamental question is not why, but why not? Why not accept the lowest among the low? Even the ant has its place and value, and so do you. The third attribute is doubtlessness. Achieving a state of freedom from self-doubt is essential if you are to experience the final four attributes of selfhood. This is probably the most difficult to achieve, since our culture, the one in which we live, breeds self-doubt. It negates the value of self-worth and preaches a homily of self-sacrifice. before an altar called the common good. It is a culture which creates the illusion of freedom and the illusion of choice. But in reality, it wants and demands conformity. Being doubt-free means freedom from all self-negation, freedom from the abyss of nothingness, freedom from reductionism that prevails throughout the culture. Have no doubt as your self-worth, the value of that which you call your own person. Accept the interconnectivity of mind and matter as the expression of selfhood. To do otherwise, I think, creates personal dismay and unhappiness. Attribute number 4 is love. The attribute of love flows naturally once you've arrived at the first 3 attributes. Love, and here I'm talking much more than the sensual pleasures, as important as they are, and they have their place and value, but the love to which I refer means giving value to all that exists, beginning with yourself, and extending outward to all living things. The potential to love all existence is limited only by a refusal to achieve the first 3 of the attributes that I've mentioned. I say refusal because that means a rejection of self-responsibility, a rejection of self-acceptance, and a rejection of the value of self. Such rejection condemns you to a depraved agony and a mode of self-destruction. You become an automaton, a thing with no feeling. To love and to give love is to survive. As these first 4 attributes, mindfulness, delightism, doubtlessness, and love are realized, the 5th attribute arrives more silent than sea fog rolling in off the ocean. And like that fog, it engulfs you totally and completely, bathing you in a newfound realization that only a sense of self-value can provide. You feel alive. And you know what? You are. Attribute 5. Centeredness. One must have a central axis of inward calm and steadfastness. That is, emotional stability. The absence of a personal centeredness results in a loss of pleasure in living. Without being centered, there is a loss of a fully developed self. Now, don't confuse selfhood with egocentricity. They are as different as is night and day. You don't make egocentricity as a goal of life. In yoga, and I am a practitioner of yoga, you can come to center through various meditative techniques. You don't need yoga to meditate. There are many advantages to meditating, just sitting quiet meditating. You can take courses in meditating. There are lots of things available. When you meditate, you come to your center. And you can do this wherever you are, okay, anytime you want. And I strongly recommend that you make a practice to touch base with your center very often, maybe even daily. It reinforces for you who you really are. Attribute 6 is actualization. Maximizing your abilities and determining your life's path involves mental consciousness. That is, awareness. Further, this involves connecting to the collective consciousness and manifesting through a union of mind, of body, and of spirit. In essence, you are to make, to create your own reality. What a man or a woman can be, he or she must be, it is written. To achieve that becoming, the five previous attributes must be in place. And that brings me to the last one, attribute 7. And I think this is probably the top of many people's lists, by the way. It's peacefulness. Peacefulness. Once you master the other attributes of selfhood, peacefulness flows naturally from the center of your being. As value and worth of the self are openly expressed, there is a wellspring of contentment that rushes over you. A fullness that can only be expressed by singing out, I am that I am that. And so you are. And to each of you I say, namaste. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Interesting points you made tonight. That went fast. See what I'm telling you? Just sitting here listening and getting right into it. One of the ones you mentioned, I think it was 3, doubtlessness. Am I correct, 3?
Yes.
That's a good term. I like that. And you're so right. You know, we can't doubt ourselves. And, of course, we talk about that a lot here. And the other points you made were interesting as well and good. We appreciate you coming on the program. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so very much, Dr.
Kelly. But you can call me Kelly.
Dr. Kelly.
I know I am a smart
Dr.
ass.
Dr. Hunter. Nice. Yes, I know you're a smart
doctor,
ass.
Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson.
And just so you know, Norm, that there was a lot of excitement in the chat room when you.
Well, I'm going to get on there right now, and I appreciate the opportunity. And all of you have a great week, will you?
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Interesting. As always, we appreciate Dr. Wilson coming on and sharing that information. And you know, you gotta cite the guy for continuing to learn, grow every day. I mean, he just completed the IMHS doctoral program. And what is that, his 4th, 5th doctorate degree? I don't know. I should have asked him before he left. But, anyway, you know, and he's 82 years old. So, you know, my hat's off to him. Excellent job. All right. We're going to get into our mindful expansion, so the program's not quite yet over. We'll probably go another 20-30 minutes or something like that. Depends on when you guys kick us off. All right. Probably before you kick us off. So.
Well, you know, just at the very end, if I can say that, just at the very end of Dr. Wilson's talk, I pulled out the Inner Oracle self-discovery cards, which for our new guests, anybody new who's listening, it's part of our program at IMHS and ICMH, and so we have these wonderful Oracle cards. I just pulled a card, and it is the indomitable power of the human spirit, if I can speak properly.
Yeah.
And I'd like to read part of what this means in our little booklet, because it's really right in keeping with kind of the theme and the feel of what I was getting from Dr. Wilson's mm-hmm. presentation. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. And I think that's really apropos myself.
I do too. And read the face value again, just so we all remember where we're at.
It's number
two. Those who are older.
In the existential suit, number 10, it's the indomitable. Why do I have such a hard time with that word?
Oh, it's a hard word.
Yeah. Go ahead. You do it.
Well, it's the indomitable. Yeah, now I can't do it. Thanks a lot. Anyway, you know, that power of the human spirit that you can't deny, that you can't take away. And that's what Dr. Wilson was talking about too, that spirit within us. And, you know, I'm going to interject here a kind of a related point that came from the chat room that Zach had posted. And his question was, he had recently read a book and wanted to share a quote. Give me 1 second to find the book. The chat room buzzing, so I have to find it now.
I think you said it's by Ken Keyes
Jr. The book was Handbook to Higher Consciousness. Okay. And this is the question, the quote in question, and he wanted to, I guess, cause comment on it. The quote is, "You contribute as much to human suffering when you take offense as you do when you make offense." And he found that profound. And so if we think about what Dr. Wilson talked about, the self, the doubtlessness, the love, and the other attributes that he discussed, really about selfhood, about bolstering the self, the person, and then we factor in the indomitable power of the human spirit, there's nothing we can't attain. And this baloney of living with self-doubts, with self-denigration, with low self-esteem, with them esteem, it doesn't have to be, because we can aspire to anything we want. And so when we suffer, you know, in the quote again, "You contribute as much to human suffering when you take offense as you do when you make offense." So the point here, don't take offense and don't make offense, because both are unhealthy. Both are not healthy for your consciousness and are not healthy for your self-concept. And we want to get rid of all that stuff that weighs us down, the baggage, the stuff that pulls us down, the negativity. We want to focus on, as Zig Ziglar says, the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive. That's a mouthful. So those are my thoughts. Dr. Hunter, any thoughts?
Well, as you were talking, I decided, yeah, I'm going to see what else the cards might have to say. And I got out of the Life Leadership Paragon number 4, which is of its self-responsibility, past, present, and future. And I'd like to read this because I think it's really right in keeping. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are: you're accountable for your past, present, and future. Don't expect others to do for you what you can do and should do for yourself. And don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves also. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. Now, those 2 lines about, you know, don't expect others to do for you and you know, don't be doing things for others, doesn't mean it's not, you know, that there aren't acts of charity and paying it forward and doing good deeds. It's about responsibility. And when we take away other people's opportunity to learn responsibility, it's really a control issue or a power issue at work. And so, you know, we're kind of giving up our own power when we do that, and we're taking away other people's power. So it's understanding those boundaries, and, you know, Dr. Wilson talked about self-responsibility, and so it's really in keeping. So the past, the present, and the future, that's, you know, Dr. Kelly, you said it too, you know, we've said this many times, we look in the mirror, we're looking at the one who's responsible for our future. Mm-hmm. So it's about the self and selfhood. And, you know, as Dr. Wilson was saying, and I think that's pretty profound.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, we can relate this concept of responsibility back to our selfhood, our taking responsibility for ourselves, for our attitude, for our disposition, for our track, our path. And we can also relate it to the quote that Zach had brought up about taking offense or making offense. You know, we don't want to take offense easily. We don't want to say things that harm other people. That's why our very first principle of belief is do no harm, do right. And so there are going to be people who are going to say things, folks. They're going to say things and we could get offended. And sometimes they say things that are offensive for sure. But we don't want to catch that ball. Because when we catch the ball, we take ownership. So we don't want to take ownership of those things. What people think is none of our business, and we don't need to worry about what other people think of us. And so we don't want to take offense, and that's all part of responsibility, being responsible to ourselves and not assuming responsible for other people or taking their stuff, taking ownership of their stuff. That's my two cents.
Well, you know, I would like to encourage people before I go ahead here, encourage anybody who would like us to draw a card for you that there might be some kind of universal message there for you. I'd be happy to do that. So please just, you know, make a little note of it in the chat and we'll get to that. As you were talking, I thought, well, maybe there's a third message here in keeping. Very often we do things in threes. You know, it's anyway, we could go on about that, the past, present, future, situation as it is, unfolding, the outcome, very many ways to see the power of three. And I pulled out of the existential suit number 15, belief system and knowledge base. And isn't that really what we talk about too, is people's belief systems? And very often that we have to change our belief systems, but I think usually it's about the belief system we have in ourselves. You know, what do we believe in ourselves? And I'll read this to you. We each operate life from an existing belief system. And sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required. Subsequently, adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. And that's true. Again, back to self. Sometimes we do have to, and you know, take this rather than outside and what we believe in the world, is what do we believe in ourselves? You know, do you believe in yourself, and exactly what is it that you believe? It's so there's, again, we get into self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and in the life leadership paragon, that equals self-completeness. And I think that's what we'd each, of course, like to have.
Which is the same as self-actualization, which is one of Dr. Wilson's attributes of selfhood.
Exactly. I totally see the parallel. Absolutely. Now, Dr. Norman Wilson has asked in the chat for a card. Very exciting.
We have three people asking so far.
Okay. I will start with Dr. Norman Wilson. I have my cards, you know, fanned out on my table, and they're face down. And you got energy signature, Dr. Wilson. And I happen to really like that message. So however it relates to you or what you feel in some way that you can translate this, this card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self, which is exactly what you were talking about tonight. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what's healthy. Remove what's unhealthy, which we all do regularly. Remember, you can't change others. You can only change yourself and your own signature, which you, Dr. Wilson, know that. I would say that you've made some pretty big changes in your life recently, and you're embarking on a new element of your journey, and your energy signature is going to change. I think that that's a natural cause and effect and a flow of energy. So it's, you know, each of us has to, no matter how far we go and what we're doing, it's always sometimes just checking in and say, oh, I have to change my energy signature. Or it is that my energy signature has changed and I need to catch up with myself. Boy, I sure have to do that a lot myself. Go ahead.
This is a great card. This whole concept of energy signatures is fascinating. And again, we've talked about this on the program. It's the vibe we give off, right? So let's put energy signatures in an easy, understandable frame. And if you think about a room in your house, pick a room. I don't care which room, maybe the front room, any room. It's got a certain energy to it, right? It's got a certain feel to it. It's got a certain atmosphere to it. You move the furniture around and it changes the energy of that room. It changes the feel, the look, the vibe of that room. And so that's essentially what we do. There's this matter of energy signatures can relate to a lot of things, to everything. It can relate to a room in your house. Maybe you like a different furniture configuration, or you change the wall color. Maybe you put wallpaper up or something like that. It all changes the energy of the room. Well, that's the same with us. When we learn new things, when we don on new attitudes that are healthy or can even be unhealthy, we change our energy signature. When we have those aha moments, when we all of that goes into changing who we are, changing the energy that we put out. And so we can assess that energy that we put out and say, okay, where does it need to be tweaked? Do I need to move the furniture around, so to speak? Don on some healthier attitudes and outlooks and approaches. It can be with anything we do, our communication skills, our attitude, whether we're judgmental or not, and it goes on and on. So this is a powerful card, and the whole concept of understanding energy signatures can literally change our life.
Well, now I understand that Tracy was next in line, and I
I think it was. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to stay in an order here so I don't lose myself.
I was thinking
that.
I'm trying to.
Go ahead. For you, Tracy, I pulled number 13 in the existential suit, and that's positive consciousness. So I'm going to read this to you. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness. Sorry, I was reading the wrong little box here, but that's appropriate too. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with the need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill toward others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. Now, for those of us who know, and we all go through life changes, Tracy's gone through one of her own change recently. And, you know, just having a little bit of support's a good thing. And that one's for you, Tracy. I think it's really appropriate myself. So positive consciousness. You want to add anything, Dr. Kelly?
I would only add that maintaining positive consciousness in the face of adversity takes strength, takes courage, takes strength. Did I mention strength?
You know what
I mean. It takes some strength, some fortitude. So I want to encourage those who are in the midst of adversity to hang in there. You know, don't let it beat you. You know, here's the thing. Who's more powerful, you or the adversity? Who is going to persevere longer, you or the adversity? And that's where we can tie right back to the indomitable power of the human spirit. We can triumph over anything. That's just who we are as human beings. So that's my point.
You know, and I might also say that each of us has a warrior self. And that doesn't mean war self. It's a warrior self. That strength inside, that in the human experience, we are each our own, you know, powerhouse of energy. And we can call upon that and what I call upon the warrior self to face adversity, to face the challenges and to move forward. So I say, be a warrior, Tracy.
Yeah.
You're good. You're good. I think we have a new guest in the chat, Transpanth. So I'm going to call you Trans for short, if that's all right. And I am pulling a card for you. Meaning and purpose, number 23 in the spirituality suit. So this is a little message for you, Trance, and whoever else could relate to this in some way. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. I'm going to say that again. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life, however, is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or the lack thereof. So if you can relate to that in any way, it's, I think that your, you know, my sense of this and the message to you, Trance, is that there's this a renewed sense of purpose that you're experiencing and in this discovery of. But to be clear, the meaning of your life is there. It's finding that sense of usefulness, value, and purpose. So I hope that you can connect with that in some way. Dr. Kelly, anything else you wanted to say?
I think you covered it nicely.
Okay. Is there anybody else I've missed? Who have I missed?
I don't think so. So let's pull a card for general. And if anybody wants one, just say so in the chat room and we'll get to it.
For general. Awareness.
For everybody. Yeah.
Existential suit, number 11. There's another little powerful Chantrice. Okay, Shauna, I'll get to you in 1 second here. I'm going to read this one. Awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some areas needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. We can all take a lesson from that. We are always growing our awarenesses. And I think, I truly believe, not just think it, I believe it, we're each responsible for that in our growing awareness. Some people, they don't seem to care, you know, they're unaware and unaware that they're unaware.
Yeah.
as Dr. Kelly often says, but you know that it is our responsibility in the sense of selfhood, you know, that Dr. Norman Wilson was talking about earlier. So Chantrice, we're so glad you joined us tonight. Haven't seen you for a while, and here I am picking a card, education. Oh, you're gonna love that one, aren't you, Shauna? Nearly Dr. Shauna, I might add. Having almost completed the IMHS program. Number 39 in the life skills suit is education. Now, this doesn't necessarily apply just to, you know, coming to IMHS and getting your doctoral. This can be applied to anything in life. Continual education is key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. And if you don't know something, first look for the answers in yourself and then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to be, you know, to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life and the experiences, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. So, you know, Chantrice, however you might relate to that in your life and, you know, the learning curves of life and always listening to your inner voice. So no matter what you're up against, no matter, you know, what kind of challenges there might be, there's a little voice inside that says, I know the answers, I know what this is, and you know, you commit yourself to that. But there's always this learning and growing process. We're always going through that. Never fails. So, little hearts that Shauna just put up here. I'm very glad to read.
Okay. Let me comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to tie the education and the awareness together because they go hand in hand. The more we educate ourselves, the greater our awareness becomes. And I wanted to use as an example a post that Dr. Jacinta made at the One Planet Community, I don't know, it was earlier today or yesterday, about she went to essentially audition or interview for a company to offer some workshops and so forth.
Yeah, powerful and, message here.
Yeah, and there you'll have to, if you're a member of One Planet Community, you can go and read it on the main page there. But basically, she gives a couple of examples, but there's this one guy that was there, part of the group that was interviewing her, listening to her presentation, and he was being a pill, so to speak, almost heckling in a bit. And she made the point that comes, she said, I quoted one of Dr. Kelly's quotes, which is from the IMHS doctoral degree program. It's also TFU, Thomas Francis University. The communication and trust are the two most important ingredients in any relationship. And he interjected, she said, and said, this is what he said. He says, that's BS. Money and love are the two most important ingredients of any relationship, quote unquote. And when you read stuff like that, and this fellow apparently was well into his 60s, you read something like that and you get a sense of where the man is, where his level of awareness is. If all it took was money and love to make a relationship fly, well, there'd be a lot of relationships flying among rich people, especially, right? I mean, you know, it would. So it makes no sense. It's talk about BS. That's total. And it gives us a clue into just how far he has not come. And it's sad. It's unfortunate. But there's a lot of people like that out there who don't get it. And they don't get that they don't get it. And they have no desire to get it. They just cook along. I bet you I can promise you that he's had a number of failed relationships over his years, and then you know that's the kind of thing. So I can't stress enough. You want to raise your awareness, get yourself educated, educate yourself, spend 15 minutes a day learning something new, whatever it is, but grow. You know, there's a lot of people that think the personal growth industry and all that is just a bunch of crap. It's not. It's who we are as human beings. Our job is to grow in enlightenment. It's not a destination. It's a journey. We that's part of raising our awareness. It's called becoming more enlightened. And you become more enlightened to who you are and why you tick the way you tick. And you also become more enlightened and gain awareness into the plight of others. Everybody has their story. You know, it's easy to call somebody an idiot. But what's their story? What's driving them? What are the circumstances? Because we all blow it. We all screw up. We all do stupid things, you know. But what's driving that? So education and awareness go hand in hand with a lot of the things we've talked about tonight.
You know, we can add in here that Dr. Jacinta handled herself very well.
Oh, yes, we can.
And, you know, she rose above it. But, you know, it stuck with her for a couple of days enough that she made a post about it. Because when we do encounter people who challenge us in this way with their frame of reference for life, we do, like, it kind of makes us give our head a shake because we think everybody wants to become a better human being. and then they don't. And they don't. And we like to believe, and I really want to stress this to people, we like to believe that if they would just learn this or just learn that, or if I could just help wake them up, I want to say leave them alone. Because here's the deal. Anybody who wants it, it's there, they can go get it. Don't think you can change people. You know, we're seed planters. We keep, you know, trying to do that through our life, in our daily life, whether it's smiling at the checkout counter or, you know, giving your kid's teacher a little thank you one day. All these little things contribute to making this a better place. But you can't change people. All you can do is manage a situation, smile graciously, and carry on with your day. And just hope that your energy signature is enough. So please don't be thinking you can change folks, because they're just who they are. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, those are good points. All right, this our time has gone very quickly, and wow, it's gone fast. So we're going to go ahead and start wrapping this up. We appreciate all of your comments, the activity in the chat room. If you're listening to this on the archive, we really encourage you to join us for the live program if you're at all able. It's 10 p.m. Each Eastern, each Wednesday evening. Just look on the websites, Metaphysical Humanism, for all the specifics. You can even click on the link for the time zone converter to see when it happens in your time zone around the world. We'd love to have you here on the live program. There's a little more energy here, and you're in good company. So we appreciate those who were able to join us live, and we do appreciate those listening to the archives. Thanks to again to Dr. Norman Wilson for being with us tonight. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing the program, and of course, thanks to Dr. Hunter for still being here.
great show tonight. Really enjoyed it, and I would like to throw in my own little thank you to Dr. Wilson. Always inspiring, always thought-provoking, and always a really good spiritual support for people. We need more people like Dr. Wilson.
Yes, indeed. And so, until next time, I encourage you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great week.
Good night.